This show is sponsored by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/embracerunning. You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 87 for September 9th, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk all about running, everything that that entails. Today we'll talk a little bit about walking.
Yeah, also, we will.
Later on in there. I'm actually in a really good mood today. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's...
It's kind of weird, right?
That's not good if you're surprised. You're in a good mood. And right. I might be the one in the bad mood today, so I just got to warn everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kind of just a hodgepodge of miscellaneous stuff we're going to get to. No really big stories to kind of cover today, really. Mm-mm. We're 1 week beyond Disney.
It seems like it was a long time ago.
I know,
it was just a week ago. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, everything after about like 5 days starts to fade into like distant memory. Like, oh, remember that Disneyland half marathon we did
that
way
one
back?
Year? That 1 year we did it?
Well, it's funny because now that we mention it, I always forget that we actually did Goofy this year.
Because you think it was like last year?
I always keep thinking it was last year because it was in January, and that just seems like so far gone.
That does seem
now.
A long time
So I'm always like,
ago.
Oh, we did that this year? That keeps throwing me off.
Yeah.
So yeah, actually, right before, if we had any kind of recap stuff from Disney, and we actually don't, which is a surprise.
I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah.
Or forgot the stuff that we didn't cover.
And we'll never remember.
Right, exactly.
The only weird thing was I was popping on eBay, just taking a look at kind of what Disney stuff was for sale. And I find it really weird that people are selling their Disney Dumbo Double Dare medals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the really weird part is how much I've seen some of them go for. Saw some listed at like one. It looks like they sold at like $185
wow.
and $200, which to me is just
wow.
I don't know who buys a medal for $100+.
Somebody does.
Like if you didn't do the race,
right?
Don't really get it, but whatever.
Maybe you're like a big Dumbo fan and just want like everything Dumbo.
Maybe.
But like I said, it would only be like one person.
I mean, the only way I could ever justify spending that kind of money on a medal. Is like, I did the race, the airline lost my luggage on the way home, and my...
Your medal went with it?
Yeah, my medal's gone, and I, you know, or it got stolen on the way home or something like that, and I still want the medal, and then I might pay whatever it takes to get a replacement, but...
That's a lot of money.
But outside of that, I can't really see what the reason would be
to
chalk up that kind of money. So.
Right.
So yeah, so that's the additional Disney stuff. Let's kind of jump into our week in training. I'll let you go first. I think you got the more... I don't know about exciting week, but definitely a busier week.
Interesting, maybe?
Yeah, interesting, I guess.
Okay, hopefully interesting. So overall, in terms of a training week, I had a pretty bad week overall. I guess it's been a while. I guess I was due.
Okay.
And ending in a pretty bad long run. Actually, my worst long run ever. So I'll get to that. But only did 1 day of spinning during the week, so that kind of gives you an idea. One day of weight training. And I actually, you know, training for Chicago, we've talked about that. Before I keep talking about it, I think I actually missed one run completely and shorted two or three others.
Okay.
So just really off week. And aside from my long run, I don't really know why. Like, didn't like no particular reason. Just, it just didn't happen. But I guess that just happens.
Yeah. We all have bad weeks.
Yeah. We all have bad weeks. So that was my week. And I guess better now than, well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Like race week?
Yeah, I get. Yeah, than race week itself. So I did actually do a race.
Was a race.
Yeah, so there was, it ended up being a race weekend, even though I wasn't registered for it until that morning, kind of last minute. I think you had mentioned briefly last time that I might do a local 5K. Mm-hmm. Ended up doing a local 10K.
Yeah.
Because actually a close friend was going to be doing her first 10K there, and I wanted to go there to support her anyways. And I thought, well, I might as well just run the 10K too. So maybe not the greatest idea if I'm going to do a long run the next day, but and done.
I mean, the interesting thing was the 5K and 10K were the same price.
Yeah.
On race day.
Right.
So
I was like, well, I get 3 more miles, right? Talking about the price per mile.
Bringing that down.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to talk about the race a little bit later, right? Yeah,
we'll do a little recap.
Yeah. So it was, but in general, it was a local 10K and it was warm. It wasn't hot, mm-hmm. you know, it was early in the morning, but probably didn't hydrate as well as I could have either during the race or post-race the rest of the day. And so that had me heading into a long run on Sunday. That was supposed to be a 22 mile long run. It was going to be a warm day, and I thought I headed out there early enough, but I guess I didn't. And again, I was probably somewhat dehydrated, I guess, from the day before, or I don't know. It just off day, but I started my 22 miler, and it was essentially an out and back. So, you know, when you short it, kind of sucks because you still have to get back to your starting point.
Correct.
Because that's where the car is.
Right.
So I went out there, felt okay, you know, for several miles. It felt pretty good between like mile 6 and 14. Mm-hmm. Felt pretty good, you know, nothing. I was like, okay, it's getting kind of warm. Got to make sure, you know, I drink my water. And I was taking my goose like I normally do, with the exception of my first one was a little late. I took it at 6 miles instead of 4 because I just forgot.
Mentally checked out.
Yeah, mentally just kind of checked out. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like 6 miles. I better have a goo. But other than that, you know, nothing really different. And then I got to my turnaround point. I was running back. Felt a lot warmer. I think you're just facing the sun on the way back more than on the way out on that trail. And I saw my pace slow down by like 40 seconds on that first mile. It's like, wow, that's a big difference in like 1 mile. Mm. I'm like, okay, well, I just, you know, just keep at it. Just having a tough time. Maybe it's mental or something. And then I think like a mile 16, I was just like done. It's like, this isn't good. Like, it's really hot. I'm feeling really uncomfortable. I'm really out of breath, like more than I should be for what I was running. So of course I thought, okay, well, let me just walk for a little bit. Maybe I just kind of need a, you know, regroup, get better. And I knew there was going to be a grocery store about 2 or 3 miles away. So I was like, okay, I just got to make it to that grocery store. I'll pop in there, get something cold to drink. I mean, I still had water, but I was like, okay, at this point, I probably need some electrolytes. I had big old salt markings on my clothing, you know, more than normal. So I was like, okay, I better, you know, just stop there. But luckily, right when I decided to walk, there was a 7-Eleven right there. So I went in there, got a Gatorade, started drinking that. Felt a lot better because it was cold. You know, it was something more than just water because that's all I had on me. Mm-hmm. Walked for a little bit. I'm like, all right, I think I can do this. I think I could finish this off. I'll just be short like a mile or something. So I started running again. Ran another mile, but it was tough. And it ended up being like a whole minute slower than the previous one. That is not good. You know, I just felt like just like I was deteriorating. Okay, I think I need to walk again. So I was doing that whole negotiation thing where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna maybe I'll like run a mile and then like I'll walk a quarter of a mile and then I'll run a mile. You know, because I still at this point I still have like I don't know 4 miles to go or something like that back to the car. And there's that's the only way I'm gonna get back to the car. You know, I mean, like I gotta get there. So started walking and then, you know, a quarter of a mile came and went, half a mile came and went. I'm like, all right, when I get to that street crossing, I'm going to run, you know, just having the whole conversation in my head. All right, okay, well, that street crossing kind of passed and I'm still, you know, feeling hot and out of breath. And it was that in between of, I feel like I might throw up if I start running or I might pass out. And if it was just throwing up, I would have been okay with that because then I would have felt better. But I wasn't sure which one was going to happen. And I figured it probably wasn't a good idea if I started running and then passed out. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep walking. So I kept walking and I couldn't get back to running. So finally, a couple miles later, got to the grocery store. Still was feeling pretty bad. So I'm like, okay, let me pop in there real quick, get something else to drink because all I have left is water. I already drank my Gatorade. Went in there, my stomach was feeling kind of queasy. So got a ginger ale, which tasted really good. I was like, I need something salty. I didn't really know what to eat, but I ended up grabbing some Pringles, like one of those little mini packages. Packs. Yeah, so I grabbed one of those. Felt so good in there because it was like the AC was just like, yeah, it was, I was like, oh, I never want to leave. But then the other part of me is thinking, okay, well, the longer I stay here, like the longer it's going to take me to get back, the warmer it's going to get. So I kind of need to get out of here. So just, but I went outside of the store. They had like a little table with a bench and just sat there and had my Pringles just sitting there and some ginger ale. I'm like, all right, let's start heading back. I'm like, oh, maybe I can run. I was like, nope, I can't run. So pretty much I ended up walking back to the car. And was out there for way longer than I had planned to be. So a 22-miler turned into a 17-miler with a walk back to the car.
With 5 miles of walking.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I was out there forever. So, I mean, you knew I was going to be out there. You knew how long I was going to be out there for. So I definitely let you know, so that you knew that I was safe. Like, hey, you know, I'm done. It's hot. I'm walking. Like, I'm okay. But I'm going to be out here way longer and I'll let you know when I'm done. Mm-hmm. So, cause you know, you kind of have an idea of how long people are going to be gone or when you expect to hear from them in terms of, you know, okay, they're going for this many miles. I should probably hear from them or they should be back in, you know, this amount of time.
Well, same old safety stuff we've talked about before is, you know, always let somebody know when you're going out running and you should give them some kind of ETA when you should be back. And then, yeah, if something like that does happen, if you can contact whoever you're told to let them know you're going to be a little longer, that way they don't worry. And
right.
Start calling in people and sending out search parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. So I was just, you know, I was walking back just like with my head down and just, I don't know, felt pretty bad. like even just mentally, like just like defeated, you know, like, oh my gosh, like all these walkers were passing me. I'm like, wait, this isn't supposed to be happening. But it did. And, yeah, it ended up being my worst long run ever. So, but I'm learning from it. That's what I got to take from it. So, a couple of things. One, probably not a great thing to race the day before a long run,
which seems
so obvious. Yeah. I mean, saying that sounds like so obvious, but yeah. So, maybe I'll think twice next time before doing that. If you are going to race or you are going to run before long run, you should probably, or the day before long run, you should probably hydrate a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back, I don't think I ate as much as I maybe should have the day before.
Before.
Yeah. So I don't think that helped. Definitely get out there earlier if you know it's going to be warm. That's what I'm going to have to do this next week. And for me personally, I probably am going to have to figure out a way to take something other than water if I'm going to be out there for that long.
Because you had your something hydration with electrolytes.
Pack? Yeah.
With just water.
Right.
Yeah, you could have taken like a separate bottle with.
I could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, I mean, the one good thing actually did was you took cash.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's something I always forget to do.
And I always do. Yeah, I don't take a lot of cash. I usually take like a 5 or 10 with me, right, just in case.
Just to get
and something. And I've never used it until now. And I was so thankful I had that $10 in my pocket. I was like, oh my gosh, I went in there and got the Gatorade, which like was like the best Gatorade ever. You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, Gatorade's never tasted so good. And then thankfully I still had enough money to make another stop, you know, and get like something else to drink. And if I had to have like a meal, you know, like lunch or something, I probably could have, you know, I had like $5 left. I could have had that if need be. So yeah, I always carry a little bit of cash with me just in case. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You should have taken like a small bottle with Gatorade, or maybe instead of water, just take like Tailwind.
Right. Which I think I may do next week.
Yeah.
I was already trying to figure it out, you know, today. Okay. What should I do next week? Should I just take, you know, Tailwind, or should I take water plus like a small bottle with Gatorade or something else, which I may do Tailwind, cause I've done that before.
With pretty good success,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So anyways, all right. So past my worst long run ever, just some random stuff. I actually did get to try out some Hokas this past week. I just was passing by a local Fleet Feet, hopped in there cause I knew that they had just gotten some Hokas. I tried, I think they're with the Stinsons. So, you know, they let me head out, on the sidewalk. I know they're trail shoes, but I went out, on the sidewalk and kind of ran. They felt really soft. You know, they're for people that don't know Hokas, they're very cushioned, I guess.
Look like very big, thick, kind of.
Almost like platforms, kind
soles.
Of. That's what they look like.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not really, but that's what they look like. People talk about it feeling like you're running on clouds or marshmallows or
pillows.
Yeah, exactly. So they actually did feel really soft. But the weirdest thing, as soon as I started running and the whole time I was running on them, my knees hurt, which was weird.
Yeah, really interesting that it just kind of immediately.
Like right away, like every step, like I was like, ooh, knee pain. So who knows? I don't know. Maybe it was just something completely unrelated, but I don't tend to have that knee pain ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying out a new pair of shoes. So, but I was just kind of curious to see what they felt like. So I know you've been kind of looking at them.
I've been super thinking about some Hokas just to, I don't know, like the idea of running on pillows and the cushioning. Just when you have issues with running, sometimes it seems like a really great idea. I was actually going to, I guess I was just going to email, I think it was my plan this past weekend, was to email Running Warehouse and just to kind of tell them a little bit about myself, what I'm used to running in, and kind of see what Hokas they recommend, and then maybe even just order them from Running Warehouse and try them out. And if I don't like them, you can always send them back to Running Warehouse, so that's not a big deal. It's kind of easier on time than having to go to a local running store and trying them out there when you don't have one super close.
True.
Because we don't.
Right.
So,
yeah, I just happen to be close to the area, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, I've been thinking about the Hokas for a while. But I'm kind of the person that, you know, I see new shoes and they just like, ooh, something different, something new. Let me try them out. Cause yeah, like I think we've talked about a lot, like the Hokas seem to be getting super popular this year.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing lots of people kind of with them, especially out on the trails.
On the trails. Yeah. I don't think I've really seen anybody on the road. I mean, I know people do use them, but I don't think I've really seen anybody out on the road with them.
Yeah. I'm trying
it's
to think
been trail for me that I've seen
at Disney. I don't think I saw a single pair.
That's a good point.
So,
I don't think I did
not
either.
That I was looking for them,
right,
but
right.
I didn't happen to see one. So,
no, but you do kind of just randomly glance at people's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Speaking of shoes, it was funny. We just got the Roadrunner Sports, like most recent catalog. They had a bunch of the new fall shoes in there already. So I was like, oh wow, new stuff to choose from. So,
yeah.
I don't even know if they carry Hokas.
Hmm. Interesting.
Kind of something.
Something to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although if you can get it from Running Warehouse, I guess.
I'll probably go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was my whole week.
That's your week?
Yeah. That was kind of a a little bit of a depressing weekend. I was kind of bummed out the rest of the day after the long run, but focused on hydration. I still feel a little under in terms of not quite hydrated today, but I've been trying to do a good job of that and kind of recuperate. Yeah. So we'll see how this week goes. Hopefully a much better week.
What's your long run next week?
This is going to be a 20 miler, but I'm going to aim for a 22. So we'll see how it goes. But maybe I won't go all the way out to the halfway mark. Okay. You know what I mean?
Like yeah, that way in case you have to short it again, you're closer.
Then I only have like a mile back instead of four or something like that. Although that always, it's always hard though, because then knowing that you're close to the car, it's like, are you really going to go back out for another like 2 miles?
That's
like,
the hardest thing.
The car is right here. So that's why I did it this way this time. Because I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to get it done. Because I'm going out that far. Yeah. Anyways, okay. So I really am done with my week now. So we can talk about your week.
My week's another week of non-running. So still trying to let the knee get better. I guess I don't even know if I want to say heal up, but improve in some fashion. Actually felt like it bounced back from Disney pretty quickly.
That's good.
Like 2 days. Of course, that's like bouncing back just to run to, I'm sorry, just to be able to walk around.
Right.
So I've been walking all week with no pain, no issues. Haven't tried running on it. Was thinking about probably going to run in a couple days. Probably going to go out and see how it feels Tuesday or Wednesday. Recording this on Monday. So tomorrow or the next day. I know since I've had this knee issue, I know I talk a lot about kind of being antsy. Really want to go for a run.
Yeah.
This past week, didn't have that issue at all. Because I think I mentioned last time I came back. My take-home gift from Disney was a cold. So I came home sick. And I was kind of sick all week. So because I was sick, I really didn't miss running because I don't think I would have felt like it really anyways.
Yeah.
But just kind of a mild, annoying cold. More annoying than anything else that I think I'm just getting over now. So I actually felt really good on Saturday. And then Sunday I actually felt a little bit worse, which is weird. And my voice is a little screwy still. I don't know why. So if I sound a little different, that's kind of the reason still. But
although maybe it was a good thing that you got sick around the time that you're resting.
Yeah.
Versus like you're resting and then you're back into running and then you get sick.
Yes.
So kind of just bunch it all together.
Yeah. I hate it when you're like kind of in prime training time for a race and then you get sick and you're like, oh, this is screwing it up. And,
yeah.
You know, what do I do? How do I adjust for this? And,
right.
You know, you might worry about that race, but if you're kind of taking time off for an injury and you get sick, it's kind of like, eh, okay.
I was taking time off anyways.
Yeah. Perfect time. But I just hate being sick to start with. Although nobody likes to be sick anyway. So that's not a real
surprise.
Haven't
met anybody yet that enjoys being sick.
So yeah, so I think I'll go out in a couple days and try to run and see how it feels, and hopefully it'll just feel fantastic. I'm still waiting for that just amazing, magical, just poof, and it's all good to go. So hopefully, we'll see. The only other things I did running related was we have Ragnar like in 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm, just under 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I think I finalized, I think I already put in our shirt orders. For kind of team matching shirts, but I had to confirm some stuff. So I was working on that in the middle of the week. And then I was working on a Ragnar pace file.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've never done a Ragnar before, kind of one of the things you do kind of leading up to it a couple weeks before is usually Ragnar will provide, or you can just download from their site or somebody's website, a pace file. So it's like an Excel file, and the purpose is just kind of to let you know when you're going to finish the race, your estimated time that you'll finish. So everybody gets assigned their start time for Ragnar based on their paces. And you kind of use the Excel file to, one, figure out when you're going to finish. Two, everybody on the team seems to want to know when their actual runs will be.
Right. And of course, it's all an estimate based on what people actually run, but it gives you an idea at least.
Yeah. And it's actually proved fairly accurate for the Ragnar road races.
Yeah, I was going to say, not for the trail at all.
The trail, forget that.
We're behind like 12 hours.
But for road, we've actually really been pretty much on. I think last year was the furthest we've been off at Napa, and I think we were like an hour behind.
Yeah.
It's kind of when we finished.
Right, and that's the most we've been off, yeah. I think.
And maybe an hour sounds like a lot, but over a 33-hour race, it's not really that big of a difference. But yeah, so it was interesting putting the pace file together, and we're splitting. I kind of captain one van, you captain another van, and this year my van is running basically in the middle of the night.
Which is what my van has had to do the last two times, which isn't horrible, but we just don't get to sleep at any normal
time.
So my van actually this year is really looking forward to our fairly normal running schedule, because I think in general we're running like, you know, morning and then late evening / early night and then morning again versus what we had done before, which is like late afternoon, like, I don't know, really, really late at night and then late afternoon again. So
yeah, the hardest part is my van is doing what you guys normally do, which is basically run from midnight till like 5:30 in the morning.
Right. So we're thrilled about not having to do that this year.
So we're my van's not looking forward to that, although I think we'll make some fun of it and enjoy it. I think we're happy about not having to. We're van two, so we're not going to be at the start line. So we actually get to sleep in on kind of the first day of the race. We don't have to get out there and start racing till like noon. So
yeah, that was our trade-off. We already talked about like, okay, well, the early start is our price to pay for having more normal running hours.
Yeah. So the interesting thing actually about doing the pace file is, you know, for everybody who does a Ragnar, you submit your 10K pace time, your 10K race, whatever your normal normally run for a 10K on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Ragnar bases start times. And then we use that for the same pace file. It's kind of a 10K is like a perfect judge for Ragnar on kind of the speed you're going to do. Because, you know, all their legs are like from 3 to 9 miles, I think, is the longest one.
Right.
So kind of, you know, 10K, 6 miles, kind of cutting it in between is pretty good. But the way the pace file does it, it actually, say you have a 5 mile leg, it tries to account for elevation. And let's say you're going to climb 300 feet over your 5 miles. It kind of turns it into what they call a virtual distance for the leg.
Mm-hmm.
So it might change that 5 mile leg into a
5.2, 5.3. Yeah.
So it would take that 5.3, multiply it times your 10K pace, and that kind of tells them you how long you'll be out there. And then what they do is, that's for your first leg. Your second leg, they would actually do the exact same thing and subtract 5%. My guess is kind of accounting for the fact that, you know, that's probably going to be your night leg,
mm-hmm.
or at least super late evening or super early morning.
Right.
And I guess temperatures might be cooler. So maybe you'll run a little bit faster because the weather will be on your side.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have people who are just afraid of the dark and will run faster.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That did definitely help my pace every time I've run it at night. Actually, that helped my pace at a trail. Yeah.
So, and then what they do is for your third leg, they actually increase your time by 15%. So I guess that's to account for the fact that, hey, this is going to be your third leg.
Right.
You're probably tired now. You didn't get much sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Napa recently, it's been an issue of the heat has really come in on day two of the race.
Yeah.
Every year. So
definitely slowed down a little bit.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool going through the pace file and kind of looking how they kind of break it down and try to predict what you're going to do. And I think we have a 7:30 a.m. start and we'll finish, I think it's predicting like 3:30 p.m. the next day.
I believe so.
Or was it 4:30? I don't even know. Might have been 4:30.
Okay, that sounds right.
I kind of
anywhere from like 3:30 to 4:30.
Yeah, a little bit faster. So, did that, and then kind of working on some final starting to get my list together for Ragnar, getting some decorations. You know, you have to decorate your van. That's like part of the fun, part of the thing. So, making sure I know where like the marking pens are.
Right.
For the van, printing some magnets to go on the car.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll show some of those pictures kind of once we get to that race and some of that craziness. So,
and then some of the safety stuff too, like the vests and the rear lights and all that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll mention next week actually what to pack for relay. I don't know if we've ever gone into that into detail, but a few tricks.
I don't remember.
Ziploc bags is the number one
thing.
So all right, before we get into the news, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor today, which is audible.com again. So you're actually a longtime Audible user.
Right.
I'm kind of the newbie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very familiar with Audible, but you've always been the one to use it. So I actually signed up for Audible over the weekend, which was actually super easy. So I went to audiblepodcast.com/embracetraining, signed up for my service, which was actually cool because I could use my Amazon login. So it's at least it's one less password I have
to remember. Oh, good. You don't have to create a whole nother.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So, and then I went to my iPhone and installed the app. Audible's actually available on iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, online, anywhere you want it. Over 150,000 books, but I put it on my phone, downloaded my first book, which I actually went with the running book.
Mm-hmm. Big surprise.
Well, you know, I figured it kind of fit, and that's kind of what I end up reading half the time, at least anyways, although you can get any book that you want. Like I said, I think it's over 150,000 they have now, but I actually downloaded Tread Lightly, which is a book by Peter Larson and Bill Katofsky. So book's actually called Tread Lightly, Form, Footwear, and the Quest for Injury-Free Running.
Oh, interesting.
So it kind of focuses...
Quest for Injury-Free Running.
Well,
yeah,
that's an obtainable quest for me.
You never know. You gotta get through the book.
But I think it's a book that I think I'm like an hour and a half into it so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a book that kind of focuses more on the minimalist trend and really goes into kind of like the biomechanics of it and the reasons for kind of why you want to go minimalist in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Granted that I'm saying that and I haven't finished the book, but Peter Larson actually does the blog runblogger.com, which I followed for a very long time. So I'm always reading his shoe reviews, which kind of what led me to the book. I think his book came out earlier this year. So I'm about an hour and a half into it, and I'll let you know how the rest of the book goes.
Now, in terms of listening to it, pretty easy to...
Yeah, it's super easy. Actually, the one thing I really liked about Audible app, and I didn't realize that it did it, was you can change the listening speed.
Oh, yeah. So, that's right up your alley.
Yeah. So I immediately changed it to 2x speed, mm-hmm. which if you listen to podcasts, I mean, one tip for podcasts is you can get through more podcasts if you listen faster. So all the podcasts I listen at 3x speed.
Which is ridiculous because I can't understand where they say it 3x.
And you might not be able to do it with us because I've been told we talk faster, at least I do. So you might not be able to do 3x speed, but on Audible, I immediately cranked it up to 2x speed, which is much more up my alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying it so far and looking forward to actually finishing the book, although it's a little bit long. I forgot how many hours it is, but...
Several hours.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like 8 to 12 hours, I think.
Okay.
So we'll see. It's kind of a little bit of an education on more a little the minimalist side of running, which, you know, in some ways now has kind of been fading out of fashion. But
yeah.
But yeah. So if you want to get a free audiobook and 30-day free trial today, sign up at audiblepodcast.com/embracerunning, and we thank them for their support of the show.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, let's jump into kind of the news from the weekend. Big races this past weekend. Wasatch 100.
Mm-hmm.
Ironman 70.3. in Henderson, Nevada.
Yeah, the World Championships.
Which I didn't realize was kind of so close to us.
I didn't either.
Here in Northern California. Yeah. Ventura Marathon was another big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was big races for this weekend. New stories from this past weekend. Kilian Jornet, which if you're into ultra running, you kind of know his name.
Right.
He's one of the best ultra runners in the world. Also one of the best skiers. And just in general, when it comes to mountaineering, he's definitely one of the best, kind of known for being one of the fastest. He actually had to be rescued.
Speaking of.
Yeah. I guess him and Emily?
I think it's Forsberg. Emily. Yeah, Forsberg.
Had to be rescued. Basically, they're out doing some mountaineering, and I think they got caught by the weather.
Yeah, I think they hadn't anticipated that the weather was going to get so cold so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And they did lose time.
Right.
Because they kind of got lost and took the wrong route.
Right.
So that slowed them down, so they had to call in for a rescue. I know Kilian has actually taken a lot of heat in the past because... He does do this mountaineering thing that he's really fast at, but mm-hmm. one of the thing is he kind of relies on being fast, so he doesn't take a lot of gear with him.
Right.
So
very minimal amount of gear.
Yeah. So one of the issues is he's not really prepared for things that happen, including when the weather rolls in when you're not expecting it. So
right, like he didn't have extra jackets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
or extra clothing for that.
So, kind of just
kind of interesting.
Yeah. I kind of always follow. Well, I try to follow what he's up to. I wish he would just run more.
Yeah.
And do more races rather than being into the mountaineering and the skiing thing so much. But yeah. So Boston news, Boston Reg for qualifiers open today.
Mm-hmm.
So
so I think it's the people that beat their qualifying time by, I think, 20 minutes or more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's open for them today.
So if that's you, then you should have already been over there.
Right.
For
and congratulations, by the way, for just running so fast. Yeah.
Other news, Pearl Azumi was actually in the news about a week ago, I guess. It was actually only a few days back. Not in a good way. It actually took a lot of heat for an ad that they had. And I think there was actually a video accompanying it. But I actually can't find the video anywhere because they took it down and I can't find any trace of it.
Where was the ad? That wasn't in the U.S., was it?
No, I think it ran in a Canadian magazine.
Okay.
And I think it was like a one-page color. Actually, that you can still see the picture online. And I'll put a link to it. You kind of see a runner kind of out in some... Looks like he's out trail running over what appears to be a almost dead dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman is performing, or I guess it's supposed to be implied that the guy's performing CPR on his dog. So I guess kind of saying that, you know, he wore his Pearl Azumi shoes and he outlasted his dog. And that's why he had to give like basically first aid to his dog.
Right.
So I think a lot of people got upset with the depiction of basically a dead or almost dead dog.
Mm-hmm.
So upset a lot of people. So they ended up pulling the video and I don't think they're going to run the ad. But Pearl Azumi is not actually
new
to controversy.
Yeah.
I know several years back they took a lot of controversy for some of the running ads that they ran a few years back, which kind of made running like a more serious thing than it needed to be in some ways, I think, with some of the ads, kind of knocking jogging mm-hmm. in some ways.
Yeah.
Although I think a lot of us don't like jogging that much as a term, but they definitely took heat for that a couple years back. I'll have to go back and look at what the old ads were from them, but yeah, a little bit in poor taste, I guess. I don't know if I would really pay that much attention to ads in magazines, so I don't even think I would have noticed it really, but
maybe the video, you know, which we can't see anymore, but maybe
that,
the ads in like magazines and things I probably don't pay that much attention to. Mm. But maybe the video.
Yeah All right, other things. Gotta thank Aaron, listener who sent this in to us. Active.com was in the news. Not in a good way, I guess. So I guess in Iowa, Active had to pay out a bunch of refunds to nearly 10,000 people. And these are 10,000 people who registered for races. And
yeah, online at Active.com, of course.
Of course. And they ended up signing up for, kind of unknowingly, for Active's, what do they call it?
Advantage.
Active Advantage,
yeah.
Which is, Active Advantage is a program that currently it's $64.95.
I think at that time it was $59.95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a program where you pay that on a yearly basis, renews every year automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to get either, you get discounts on races, you get no processing fee. So that normal registration fee that you would pay to active.com, you wouldn't pay that. And then they have like discounts on gear, and sometimes they'll have coupons, and now they're doing like free entries that they just give away. But I guess the basis of this issue with Iowans was that, you know, a lot of people ended up signing up for this Active Advantage kind of unknowingly. They didn't see that it was basically a box, I guess, that was automatically checked, so
you
or
had, like, kind uncheck
of,
or something.
Yeah, kind of misleading.
Yeah.
And supposedly in the article, there was like people who like, oh, there might have been people who like were paying for years unknowingly. Although I think you got to take a little of that blame on yourself if you're paying years for something that
right.
you don't know what it is. It's obviously appearing on your credit card statement.
Right. Unless you just assumed it was a race registration and didn't like think twice to look at it.
Yeah, but if you saw $50 every, I don't know,
once a year?
You'd have to run like a lot of races for that to go.
For once a year?
I don't know. I pay a lot of attention to my credit cards.
No, I agree, so. But I'm just thinking, you know, if it shows up once a year as active.com, you know, and it's 59, yeah, anyways.
I mean, this is one of the things that I think a lot of us disliked about active.com. I know years ago, that's something I noticed on their registration pages, and I think you just had to pay like a lot of attention and made sure that you unchecked the correct box.
Right.
Otherwise, you would get signed up for it, and then you would get the charge.
I think I don't know if they do it anymore because it's been a little while since I've gone through their, you know, their forms and all that, but they also used to have this thing where they offered you, you know, subscriptions like to magazines.
It's still
and,
there.
Yeah, okay. And then you had to like uncheck or say no thanks because it automatically would like select some magazines mm-hmm. for you. And then of course, you know, it's like a, I don't know, as an example, like a 3-month trial or something. And then you had to cancel after that. So you got to be careful to uncheck.
Yeah. So yeah. I think back in the day, for sure, Active used to get a lot of phone calls from people who, you know, immediately got that first bill with that charge and said, huh, you know,
yeah.
what is this? I didn't sign up for that.
Right.
And I think usually they would refund the fees. I'm sure if you screamed loud enough, they would give you the money back. Or you just, what you would do is just call your credit card company and
right.
fight the charge.
Yeah,
just, and you can
dispute the charges.
Yeah, could go that way. But it's kind of interesting seeing, you know, 10,000 people in active.com having to pay that out. I think they had to pay a $15,000 fee to the state's consumer fraud department as part of the penalty against them. I did actually go to active.com before we started recording just to kind of run through the registration process to see what it looks like today, because mm-hmm. I actually haven't used active.com in a while. Not that we haven't done the races, but I think you signed me up for a couple.
Yeah, so, you actually haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since I saw it, and the Active Advantage is still there. I think you have to click yes to sign up for it.
Okay.
So I didn't see it as being automatically checked off. Now, I don't know if I went through the whole process, maybe if it was being, you know,
at some point
automatically in there, but I saw it, and it looked like I had to click yes to kind of, I had to be the one making the action to kind of sign up for it. I did still see the magazine section in there, but I mean, I guess the lesson is when you're doing these registrations, just make sure you pay attention to every single detail, especially all those check boxes that are either already checked or not checked. Pay extra attention. That way you don't end up paying for something that you don't want to pay for.
Right. Make sure you're not, they're not opting in for you on
yeah.
something.
And if anybody actually does the Active Advantage, on purpose, you didn't like get accidentally signed up.
Yeah.
If you did sign up for it and you like it, let us know.
Right.
I'd be kind of curious. To me, I never saw it as worth it at all.
But it'd be interesting to hear another perspective and somebody
yeah.
who,
I mean, if you actually do,
who benefits from it
yeah.
and likes it.
I think you would have to do a lot of races, and you would have to do a lot of races that, you know, active.com does the registration.
Right. Cause that's the thing. You could do a lot of races and still not, I mean, not all of them are going to be through active.com. So
right. Yeah, because yeah. I mean, the first issue is active.com isn't doing everything. And then back in the day when I actually did really take a look at Active Advantage, the races that were on there weren't all necessarily qualified for the discount. So you would come to some races that you couldn't use that no reg fee thing.
Got
on.
It.
So,
tricky.
And the discounts and the coupons that they have, I don't know if it's really worth it. And discounts on gear, I'd be surprised if they were worth it. But mm-hmm. like I said, if you're somebody out there who's actively signed up for it and you think I'm wrong, let me know. Because I, you know, if it was something that was worth it, I would sign up for it.
But, right.
I mean, the one thing we always do to kind of avoid reg fees is mail in your registration.
Yeah, whenever you can.
Yeah. So do an old fashioned check mm-hmm. and print the old fashioned paper.
And do the snail mail.
Yeah. And mail it in for, what are we at now? 46 cents?
I have no idea. I think I'm still using the, what are they called? The forever ones. Yeah. I still have a couple left of those stamps.
So what else? We wanted to mention updated security measures for the Chicago Marathon. This is a little bit old. This is like 10 days old, but we didn't have a chance to talk about it last week.
Yeah, because we were all about Disney last week.
Yeah. So we are registered for Chicago. So we did get the kind of email letting us know. Not really anything different.
Yeah. The gist of it was you can't pick up a bib for somebody else.
Yeah, that's kind of new.
Yeah, so you have to pick up your own. But, you know, they did say that they understand that there's some unavoidable conflicts. So if that's a case, please email them at a specific email address to seek a resolution.
Yeah, so I'd be really curious to what they say when you say, like, right. Oh, I can't be there for pickup.
Yeah, I wonder if they, like, require a reason or like, what your options are.
Yeah, do they mail it to you?
Yeah.
Do they allow
somebody else to pick it up for you?
You know, is there, like, a runner relations booth where they let you handle that? I'd be kind of curious what they do.
And then the other thing was gear check. The only gear bag that you'll be permitted to bring inside the perimeter of the area where basically start line is and gear check is the clear bag that they're going to issue as part of bib pickup. And yeah.
And that's basically what Disney did. And I think that's going to be kind of the
go-to thing.
The go-to thing for big city races
is
the clear bag
that
you have to put everything in. I know, I think in the past, some people would try to just throw their regular bag inside the clear bag, but I don't think that's going to fly because that's not what's intended.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the Disney instructions were kind of confusing on that.
About putting your own bag in that bag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of, in one of the race directions that we had, it almost seemed like you could do that.
Because I've done that before. I've taken like one of those drawstring bags, you know, that you get like Rock and Roll or, you know, whatever other events, and I've thrown stuff in there and then thrown that into the gear check bag for other races.
Right.
So yeah, but they probably don't want you doing that at this point.
No, I don't think so.
For these races.
Yeah.
They want all your stuff just there in the clear bag.
Right. So they could see it easily.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's cause it's going to be secured start area.
Right.
Secured finish area. Yeah. The interesting thing at Disney though, now that I'm thinking about it is, yeah, you had to have the clear bags. You would take it to gear check, but there was no secured area. Like at the start finish.
That's a good point.
You could actually take any bag you wanted to.
Right.
Right to the start area.
Right. That's a good point.
So, because there was no real security checking that. So you would just drop your bag off at gear check and it had to be a clear bag, but that was kind of it. So interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah. You didn't even think about that until you said it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's really checking.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I spent some time looking at Chicago stuff today because we're like 5 weeks away from that. I was looking at wave start times. I'm actually curious if anybody has done Chicago before. And can fill me in on one bit of information, actually. I know they do two wave starts, and there's corrals, like, A through... What's the last corral? Like, G?
The last corral H? Total?
Yeah.
I think it's, like, I or J or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I think wave one is, like, A through
E
or something like that. So, I'm curious if anybody can tell me, so I can kind of know what to expect, is, like, how much time is there between corals?
Between, like, A and B and B and C?
So, do they hold the corrals? Okay. Or do they let all the corrals go at the same time? Or do they hold each corral for like 5 minutes? So it'll be A and then 5 minutes and then B and then 5 minutes. Or so if anybody knows that, I'm just kind of curious. Kind of want to know what I'm getting into when Chicago rolls around. All right. What else? We were going to talk about course previews. You actually threw this in the rundown.
Right. That was my thing. So it was just kind of something that I thought might be interesting to talk about. Or at least it was interesting to me. You know, we registered for the Berkeley inaugural Berkeley Half Marathon.
Yes.
Which is in November, end of November sometime. And so you periodically, you know, get emails with like updates and things like that. And they're trying to do like group runs with local running groups or running stores, you know, just kind of, you know, help promote the race. And then also just kind of get the whole, you know, community feel, which is nice and greatly appreciated. But I got an email last week, and you probably got the same one, about joining them for a group run on, you know, two different days, one this month, one next month, to do a course preview of the course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that sounded weird, but
but that's what it is.
Right, to do a preview of the course. And it just got me thinking, like, well, I mean, I actually can't make either one of those dates anyways, so I didn't even, you know, go beyond that. But I was like, well, if I could, is that something that I would want to do? Would I want to go out there and see actually run part of the course? Or do I not want to see it beforehand and be, you know, like see it with fresh eyes on the race day? Is that part of the excitement on race day of running somewhere where you haven't run before? So what's your take on it?
Because I
know there's probably like a million different answers and viewpoints on this, but.
Yeah, I would not be a fan of actually running the course beforehand.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I kind of want to see the course new for myself on race day.
Yeah.
Now, that might be different if I was like, all right, this is my A race. I'm going there to, you know, to nail a PR. And
right.
I'm real serious, and I trained, like, 15 weeks exactly for this race, and I'm hardcore serious about what my time is. Then,
like, this is the race.
Yeah. If you're going to be that serious about it, then it might make sense to see the course beforehand. Mm-hmm. That way you can really plan things out and you kind of know like when the hills are and where's the turns at. And,
right.
It's not really going to help you with where aid stations are, but unless you took a map with you on the training run.
Yeah.
So I think if you're serious about it, then I guess it could help.
I mean, and it's not, you're not going to actually run the whole course.
Right. Just
like 5.5 miles. But still, I mean, I think I'm kind of with you, unless it was a very specific, very, very, very like important. Yeah. Like a race for me. I kind of don't want to see the course. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to, like, that's part of the whole experience for me on race day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, now if I was, like, thinking that I could win this thing, which, okay, yeah, right. You know, then I'd probably want to go run out on the course and, like you said, you know where the turns are, where the hills are, where this is, where that is, that sort of thing. But otherwise, I kind of want to leave that until that day.
Yeah. I mean, The one thing is, like, rock and roll races, they do their course preview. They kind of strap a camera to a car.
Right.
And they drive the entire course and then they speed up the film and kind of turn it into, I don't know if it's like 5-7 minutes. So in 5 or 7 minutes, you drive like the whole course in high speed. I actually like that because you kind of get a general feeling of kind of, you know, what
you're
getting into.
Be.
Like, oh, that's going to be an industrial area or that's going to be, oh, that park should be nice.
Yeah.
But you're not like, when you're running it, you're like seeing it exactly as you're going to see it on race day.
Right. Because this is still a completely different perspective. You know, how many times have you driven on a road or something where you've run and they look like two totally right. different places because you just take it in completely differently when you're driving versus when you're running.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Berkeley Half Marathon is not the only race that I've actually gotten emails for before, you know, for other races like preview the course. But it's just the one that actually just I got last week. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of made me think about it. So. And I don't know if I was odd because I was like, I don't know that I'd want to go, you know, even if I could. So I don't know if I was just, if I'm weird.
Well, I don't
maybe
think,
most people want to check it out.
I think for most of us, I don't know if it'd be worth driving, you know, that race, unless you're right there in that neighborhood.
I don't know
if it's worth driving even further, you know, like, oh, I got to drive 40 minutes to go to Berkeley.
Right.
To kind of preview the course. That, to me, it definitely wouldn't be worth it. Cause I mean, I wouldn't want to do it in the beginning, but now it's like, oh, okay, I got to drive 45 minutes away and,
Although if you're like from that area, sorry to cut you off.
Maybe.
But sorry, if you're from that area, you may already know that part of the course.
True.
Because maybe you run through there already.
Yeah.
Or you're like, oh yeah, that's through so-and-so.
So maybe you're just going for the group run.
Maybe.
Yeah. Which I could
see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just made me think about it.
Yeah. And maybe some people do like to see the, you know, preview the course.
I'm sure a lot of people do.
I know a lot of people seem to, or I've heard of a lot of people kind of, well, drive a course like the day before.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So you go to a marathon out of town or you go do a half marathon out of town, you'll kind of go to the expo, and then kind of on your way to dinner or from dinner, you might drive a little bit of the course to kind of see it. I know a lot of people have done that. I think when we were at Running with the Bears, I think we heard some people had done that the day before. Kind of went out. Oh, yeah, because they saw a bear.
Yeah.
So they drove the course the night before. So, let us know if you're somebody who kind of checks out a course before you do it.
Right.
Because that's kind of probably not something we would normally do.
Yeah. It just made me think about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's jump into this kind of race report. We'll do this kind of quick. It was a short race.
You
ran it pretty quick.
Yeah, not, so it was kind not of bad.
Not a lot to say.
Right. The end. No. So like I said, it was a local 10K, you know, pretty small. They had a 5K as well, which I was debating between doing, you know, which one to do and kind of mentioned earlier how I made my decision for the 10K. But, you know, I like supporting small local races, but I got to be honest. I think this is my third year doing this race. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think this is my third year doing this race. And they kind of make it difficult for me to come back. So, you know, price was, you know, what you would expect, I guess, for a local or maybe a little bit more than what you would expect for like a local 5K, 10K.
How much was it? 35?
Yeah, 35.
On race day.
That's on race day.
For a 10K.
Yeah, so it's, no, that's pretty much what you would expect, right? I mean,
and we should say this was the Bean Run 10K.
Right.
In Tracy, California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if there was more to that.
No, we didn't say the name of the race.
Okay. Yeah, so I actually had missed the deadline to pre-register. So The good thing about that is that it gave me time to figure out whether I wanted to do it or not and which distance. So got there for same day registration. No problem with that. Super easy. Do you have shirts for everybody? Shirt size is not guaranteed, but I actually got my shirt size. Okay. Unisex cotton. So I'm not that surprised with, you know, a 5K, 10K.
Yeah, that's what you expect.
Yeah, exactly. So okay there. In terms of the start, start line, finish line, same spot. Mm-hmm. End up doing like a loop back to that area. Started off a little bit later, maybe like 5 or 6 minutes. I don't know, something like that. It was just a little bit later.
The start
time? Yeah, the start time.
Yeah, it was about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, because you were there spectating.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, they're spectating. And it's a, you know, mass start for the 5K and 10K, so it's not split up. Mm-hmm. But it's not a huge number of people.
It was maybe 150 people.
Well, actually, I looked at the finishers. It was like probably like 120 for the 5K and about 60 or 70. So maybe, so what's that, like 200 people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I was pretty close.
What did you say?
I said 150.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Oh. That's pretty good for eyeballing.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad. Okay, yeah. So about 200 people. So everybody starts together. No chip time.
Of course.
Yeah. So that's one thing that I kind of get bummed about. But, I mean, what are you going to do, right? So you got to try to be, you know, close to the front if you...
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, if you want to try to place or, you know, whatever it is, you know, in your age group or...
It's weird because I'm trying to think the last time I did a race that was not chip timed. And I can't really remember.
Yeah.
I might not have done one this year.
Now you got me thinking. Okay, I'll have to think about that later. So anyway, so start off, you know, a few minutes later. But one of the things that kind of put me off a little bit was as we were waiting there, you know, for it to start. And I'm not exactly sure what we were waiting for because I didn't hear an announcement in terms of like what the delay was. But it wasn't a huge delay. Was that they were actually asking if anybody wanted to volunteer. I don't know if you heard that.
I think
so. At the water stations. Please let them know because they are needing or lacking volunteers. And so if we wanted to have our water at water stations, please could some people volunteer? So I was like, so I know everybody kind of looked around like, oh, shoot. You know, are we like not getting any water? And it was a warm day. I mean, it was like 8 a.m, so it wasn't really late. But it was a warm day. And I thought, wow, I didn't bring my water. Because I'm doing a 10K and I figured I'd be okay, but I may not be drinking any water, you know, at this 10K. So that kind of like got me a little nervous, but I'm like, okay, well, I don't even know where the water stations are. If we're going to have any, I don't know, maybe nobody volunteers and we don't have anything. So we'll just see how it goes. So in terms of course marking, pretty easy to follow. Like you can't really get lost.
Yeah.
Mainly through for the 10K through the residential area, along with the 5Kers. And then you split off. 5K basically goes through just more residential area and back to this. This is kind of all like at a park. It starts at a park. Mm-hmm. So then you end up back at the park. So I've done the 5K 2 years in a row now. 10K, when it splits off from the 5K, actually goes a little bit more into like industrial mm-hmm. area, like warehouses. So, and then back and then into the residential area and back to the park. So not scenic by any means. I've probably run through worse though. Can't think of it off the top of my head, but not scenic, but you know, clearly marked. There's people at all the important, you know, intersections, you know, holding back cars and making sure you're going the right way, but they don't close off the streets. So that's another thing too. Mm-hmm. Now, not much of a problem with the residential area. There's just not that many cars through there anyways at that time. But when you got over into kind of the main streets and kind of the warehouse industrial, there was like some big rigs kind of coming down like next to you and you're like, okay, I'm just going to hop on the sidewalk real quick, you know, just to make sure that I make it safely. So, they actually did have two manned, you know, aid stations for the 10K.
There was actually somebody there?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's actually a couple people at each one. So one of them was at, the turnaround point. So basically midway, which maybe isn't the best place to put it, but I mean, it's better than nothing. And then the other one was probably... I don't know, maybe like a mile from the finish line, which is, I guess, kind of far. Mm-hmm. And I know I heard a couple people who did the 5K that they were kind of bummed that they had one water station, one aid station, and it was like at mile like 2.4 or something, you know, so it's pretty late into it. But they were there and we had water. There was water. So we were good. So what else do I want to say about it? What am I forgetting? So in terms of, you know, part of the course was an out and back, so I could actually see who was
ahead of you, who was behind you.
Yeah, and so the winner, you know, like was like way ahead, like, oh my gosh, what? So anyways, so you can kind of tell who was ahead, and I was, you know, trying to keep track of how many women were ahead of me, you know.
Counting them off.
Yeah, just counting them off. Something to kind of keep you busy, too, you know, if you kind of focus on that. So there was two in front of me pretty much from the get-go, and they stayed in front of me. So they actually swapped positions, which was kind of funny. They swapped probably like in the last mile, I think, or three quarters of a mile. Yeah, they swapped. But I stayed in third, which I'm happy with. And it was, I mean, it was getting a little warm towards the end. So, hence probably part of my problem with my next day's run, but, you know, came through the finish line, you know, no chip timing. So they got to do the rip off, you know, the bottom part of your bib and put it on the little string thing. Yeah. You know, write down your time and all of that. They did have water, at the finish, but not a lot of water. Mm-hmm. And, about half of it was cold. The other half was just kind of on the table. So that was a little bit of a bummer too, but you know, it doesn't really matter. Like water's water. I'm fine with it right at that point, but didn't really have anything else in terms of anything else to drink or, anything to eat. Actually,
there was like no food.
There was no food at all.
That's weird.
Yeah. So no bananas, no orange slices, no bagels. You know, that's kind of like the go-to thing. I think like bananas, orange slices and bagels. That's kind of, or at least bagel pieces. Like I'm not expecting a full bagel or anything.
No, I think, but even there was nothing. Would have something.
Yeah. There was no food at all. It was just water. So that was kind of another, you know, bummer, but yeah. But I ate soon afterwards, but still it was just kind of like, oh, I could really go for like something like in my stomach, like right now, you know? What else? What am I missing?
I don't know. I will say just congratulations, because you did end up finishing third overall
in
the 10K, taking second place in your age group.
Right.
So yay.
Sorry
to get the applause sounder.
Yeah, you got it. So no, I was happy with that. So and they did get to awards pretty quickly. So that, you know, they started off with like the 5K awards and went through those and then 10K awards. So got a medal. And what, I guess one of the sponsors is like a local
nutrition store.
Yeah. So you also got a like 25% off card for, I guess, any products. I don't know if it's like just one product or purchase there. And then early on, the people that were getting awards would also get a shirt from that nutrition place.
Yeah.
Plus some sort of water bottle.
It's a bottle or a shaker.
Something.
Yeah, something.
I didn't really get a good look at it. But I guess when they did all the 5K awards first, and then as they started getting into the 10Kers, I guess they ran out of that stuff. So they gave me the card and said, oh, you know, if you make it down here to a nutrition store, you know, just let us know and we'll get you a shirt and a bottle. So I'm not sure if I'm going to go, but I have that option. And I guess if I'm going to go, it's going to have to be soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'll make it over there, but yeah. So yeah, I mean, my race overall was pretty good. I mean, I did feel like I was pushing it pretty well at one point, cause I thought maybe I could catch up to the second place woman, but didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I kind of felt like I was pushing it pretty good for a little while. In terms of like my time, technically my time is my fastest 10K, but the course is definitely short, and I've always had that with the 5K course on here too, like significantly short. Like I think the 10K course ended up being, I think, a quarter of a mile. So we're not talking about like 0.04,
I think it ended up being 5.9.
Yeah, mine was like 5.94.
Okay. Because I heard several people, and the numbers I kept hearing was 5.89 and 5.90 and 5.91.
Right. And then
several people had that on their GPS.
Yeah. Like my close friend, I think she got like 5.90, I think. And I had 5.94. So apparently I didn't run a tangent as well as some other people. But, but anyways, so I don't really consider it my 10K PR.
Yeah.
Because then, I mean, by that, I mean, I beat my 10K, my previous 10K best time by like a minute and a half, which is not true.
Well, it's funny because when we say start line, was there an actual like line drawn?
There was not.
Yeah.
It was just like, everybody, can you move up like to around here? Like, okay.
Yeah. So I was laughing that everybody kind of like, I could tell like basically when they said move up and just like around there, like, okay, so there's no official
like up to where, like there's no cone, there's no anything.
And they could have actually measured the course from like the actual start banner.
Right. Which we started ahead of.
Which everybody kind of moved up from there and yeah, I don't know. So,
well, looking at their site where they have the 5K and 10K course, you know, showing, if you click on the link, it actually takes you to the GMAP speedometer. I don't know if anybody's ever used that, but it takes you to the GMAP speedometer. And I don't know exactly how that's calculated. If that's calculated based on like if you're on the road, like the actual street, or if that calculates it like on the tangents too. Because on that map, it actually does clock it as like 6.24, 6.21 or something like that.
I haven't looked at that site in a long time. In the old days, you used to be able to just draw the lines yourself wherever you wanted.
Right.
So if they drew them in the middle of the street,
that's what I'm wondering.
Then that's not actually the course that people.
Right.
That's not actually the proper way to measure it.
Exactly.
Either,
but, so that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm thinking based on how they measured it, it's probably the right length. but that's not actually what you're running.
Right.
So I think that's where kind of the discrepancy comes in. So
interesting.
Yeah. I guess that's all for.
Yeah. So overall,
being around 10K.
Kind of a race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing really bad about it, but just kind of a lot of little random things like not chip time. Was afraid I wasn't going to get any water, you know? Like, I don't really feel it's my responsibility at the start line for me to provide a volunteer if I'm going to get my own water. You know what I mean? Like, it's, if you're needing help, like, maybe let me know ahead of time or don't.
And I actually would have volunteered, but we actually went there in separate cars because I had to take off immediately after.
Yeah.
So I actually couldn't be out there to like kind of man an aid station for the longer time because I knew you were going to be quick. So I had enough time to wait for you and then kind of bounce out of there.
Exactly.
Otherwise, I would have volunteered.
Right.
No problem. That actually would have been pretty easy. Actually, a really good race to volunteer because there's not a lot of runners.
Yeah, and actually,
and so if you're handing out water, it's not like you're handing out water to like 1,000 people.
Exactly.
You're only doing like 100, 200 people.
Yeah, I mean, now that I think about it, maybe what I'll do next year is actually volunteer
instead
and
of
maybe not
it.
Run it. Yeah,
maybe make it a little bit better.
Yeah,
race.
Yeah.
So actually, maybe a really good idea.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll remember between now and then and volunteer at it. So
yeah, and because of all that stuff said, I didn't run it. Had nothing to do with my knee. I wouldn't have run it either, anyways, just because. I don't know.
I don't think you've ever run it, huh? Or once, actually.
I ran it once, like
once,
four or
right.
5 years ago.
I'm trying to remember now.
On a totally different course.
Yeah.
Which well,
I guess
like
it's my
fourth
time running then. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually like that old course from like 4 or 5 years ago better, actually.
Right.
But I think the race was actually better then, too.
That was just that one year, though, that they had it there.
I did it in like the perfect year.
Pretty much.
After that, it was kind of after that, so.
Yeah. So we'll see.
All right. Well, like I said, congratulations on a pretty fast race regardless.
Thanks.
So. All right, let's.
I guess I set a PR on a 5.94 miler.
It's a.
There you go.
There you go. Either way you look at it's
a different,
it's a PR
because it's a new distance.
So you're gonna have to enter it in your log as a 5.9 mile race.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, let's get into some feedback that we heard from some people. We heard from Beth from Florida, who's kind of bummed about. We mentioned last week R&R St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Is going to be no longer.
Right.
So,
yeah. Canceled.
Kind of a bummer for her because if she wants to do an R&R race, she's going to have to travel for one now.
I did tell her that there are a couple of R&R races kind of over our way. So
in California?
If you ever want to travel.
That's
even
a lot
even
in
Northern
California.
There's two in Northern California, just by Northern California by itself.
Yeah. So Margo from SoCal also let us know that she was kind of bummed that Pasadena had disappeared now.
Right.
Although, like we said, in California, if you're in Southern California, you still have rock and roll. Do they call it LA?
Yeah.
Which is like a Halloween themed one. And then there's Rock and Roll San Diego that you
right.
can do. And you're still not that far from San Jose or San Francisco.
Right.
Jeez, a lot of California are in our races. So,
And if you're in Southern California, you're not that far away from Arizona or Vegas, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I was thinking the other day, you know, and I was reading, God, I was on somebody's Facebook page and they were talking about, was it R&R's decision to cut elite funding? Which we did talk about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people left comments and stuff and kind of overall just a very negative feeling towards R&R, which I think in the past I've been critical of R&R, but in some ways it's kind of funny. Your memory fades. And I was like, you know, like, oh, what was so wrong with, you know, R&R races sometimes?
Yeah.
Other than cost, because I think they do kind of nickel and dime you.
Yes, I agree.
A lot of the time, which I think is the big complaint. But some of their expos have been pretty good and I do like their race shirts. And for the most part,
medals are pretty good.
Medals are always good. And they've been pretty organized.
And they have post-race food.
They do, actually. Actually, their post-race food is...
probably the biggest spread I've seen, with the exception of Brazen.
Yeah. It's definitely been better than Disney, actually.
Yes.
Because Disney gives you the little
box.
The little airline. Looks like a little airline food
box. It does,
box.
Actually. That's a good way to describe it.
So, all right. Who else did we hear from? We heard from Bradley, who's going to be coming to SF. So he was actually looking for some runs to do in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think he's going to be there for like a week or something.
Yeah, so not... Yeah. Not races, just training runs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
road.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're certainly not huge experts in San Francisco, but we kind of gave him the usual recommendations if you're going to be staying in the city, which is to kind of go down to the Embarcadero and run. Because if you go there any morning, you will see tons of people running along the Embarcadero. Golden Gate Park, another good place to run.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't forget the opportunity to go out for a run on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right.
So, we gave those possibilities. If anybody knows of anything else really good to do in San Francisco.
Any must-dos.
Yeah, throw them in there. Let us know. All right, who else? We also heard from Beth in New York.
Right, another Beth.
And she just mentioned again that the rumor is that Disney is going to, sometime in the next few months, unveil up to 4 new races. One of them probably going to be Disneyland Paris.
Right, which I know has been rumored for a while now.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see if they actually make that official announcement for that.
Yeah, I haven't paid too much attention to the Disney kind of rumors of late, but I know earlier in the year I was paying more attention. Yeah, I do remember the Paris one being kind of a common thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we also heard from Tara, who did her first morning 5K. She's the one we keep mentioning is only doing night runs.
Right, and we're like, how in the world can you like find all these night runs? But apparently they have that many around here. So yeah, she did her first morning one. So it was hillier than expected, but she actually got a PR by almost 2 minutes. She did like the evening races that she's done, but she likes the morning ones better because she doesn't have to worry about what she eats all day, and then she has more energy, which I can completely agree with. Although thinking back, I don't think I've done a single evening or night race with the exception of like just Ragnar, you know, your specific evening right. or night legs, but I haven't done any specific race that was.
Well, we've got one in November.
I know, so it'll be interesting. We'll see. And I'm sure I'll be worrying about what I'm eating all day. So
I'm going to worry about that one too.
Yeah.
So yeah, congrats on the PR.
Yeah.
We also heard from Ken, who was actually out at Dumbo with us. We mentioned him before. Him and his wife were out there running the race. I guess he actually mentioned that he's actually part of a Galloway training program, mm-hmm. Which is one of the largest in the country, which is kind of interesting. And I guess next up for him in terms of big races is the Marine Corps Marathon in October.
Yeah.
So that's super cool. Kind of wish I was there. And his wife's going to be doing the Glass Slipper Challenge at Walt Disney World next year.
Yeah, next year. Yeah. The inaugural, right? Inaugural Glass Slipper.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Also heard from Kara, who kind of like just like you, did a last minute. She did a 5K, last minute 5K with mm-hmm. her family. And she got a PR, so congrats on the PR. Actually got third in her age group, along with kind of her whole family kind of placed.
Yeah, her whole family did place. So they just, yeah. I mean, so, I guess they swept
the... yeah, we saw the pictures, which was kind of really cool. Had the whole family there with yeah. their awards. And
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so congrats to everybody in the family. And good job for the family just kind of sweeping up all the awards, keeping somebody else from getting them.
they came in last minute and just like registered and then...
Yeah. They said, we're here, we got this.
Right.
You know, exactly. Our family's in the house and we're going to...
Yeah, we're bumping you, we're bumping you, we're bumping you.
We also heard from Richard, who actually listened to kind of one of our older episodes and mentioned the Marathon of the North in Sunderland, England, which is one we had talked about because it was the only person that ran the full course was the winner. Everybody else got shorted
yeah.
on the course, which I guess was kind of a bummer for him because he wanted to run a marathon before his 60th birthday. And
he did run that before his 60th birthday.
But I guess he's saying that, you know, he actually didn't get the 26.2
right,
in.
Right, so it's a short course.
But in my book, that totally counts as a marathon. So
I agree.
Congratulations to you and don't right. be bummed about
it
that.
It wasn't like 10 miles short. I mean, it was like a couple of hundred yards short, I think. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, so close enough. So congratulations on that marathon for sure. Sounds like it was pretty cool, except for getting shorted.
Yeah.
Also heard from Rob, who was nice enough to remind us that Eugene Marathon in Oregon... registration opens today, actually.
Yeah, open up today.
So, actually, that's a race that's kind of been on our to-do list, and we're not going to be able to get out there next year.
I know. We just realized that today.
Yeah, so I think 2015 will be the year for that. Interesting enough, had they not changed the date on that, we would have been able to
right.
take it.
I know. It's yeah,
we had really bad timing on changing that up. So
yeah, something that we cannot move. So
yeah, so yeah. Thanks for the feedback. Keep it coming. That's going to kind of wrap it up for the week. What else do we want to mention? You actually did register for a race this past week.
I did.
So you registered for a local, it's called the Let's Go 510 K.
Yeah, so it's a 10K.
Which is in Oakland, California or Berkeley?
Berkeley.
Berkeley. We're yeah. You're going to be out in Berkeley.
Apparently, yeah.
So that's actually part of a running series in the Bay Area.
So that was part of the 415 mile,
yes.
which we did
when we're
in August?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
I think it's the beginning of August, I think. It's either beginning of August or late July.
It was for sure 2013. That's all I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good.
So yeah, you'll be out there. You registered. I did not. I'm going to, I think I'm going to pass on that one just because of the knee. I don't need to add any more races
yeah, yeah.
to the schedule. But yeah, if you do want to sign up for that, actually, if you are local, we do have a referral link on our website. You can go over to embracerunning.com and click from there and we get a little bit of credit for sending you to the race.
Right. Or if you're going to be in town for the Nike SF race, it's the day before.
Oh,
so, you can just do it.
I forgot about just, that. So you're doing back to back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I'm not gonna race either one. I don't think I'm just gonna run them.
And you have a bunch of friends that you're doing Nike Women's with,
right? So I'm gonna be yeah. I'm definitely not racing that one. Just yeah. gonna have a good time and yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
And actually, while you're at Nike Women's, I'm supposed to be running a small local half marathon called Grape Stomp, which I did. I've been at the event the last couple of years, but I might end up... It's one of the few races that actually do allow a deferral, or they call it rollover,
right.
to the next year. So,
which I actually did.
You did.
I did.
Because you had originally signed up with me like months ago
right.
on a discount
code. Right, and then I got into
code.
Nike, so...
Yeah, so when you got into Nike, you've rolled over to the following year. And
yeah,
because
no
of my
problem.
Knee, the smart decision for me would be to roll over to the next year. I haven't done that yet. I'll let you know what I decided, so we'll see.
I want to do that soon.
No commitment. I really wanted to go back out and do the race, but that's a race actually we've done before, and we've had lots of people we know there.
Yeah. So it's always a fun one because of that.
Yeah,
because
we have like lots of friends that do it.
Yeah.
Although this year, nobody has mentioned that they're going to be there.
Right.
So
maybe it's a good year to not defer. Do it.
Yeah. So if I'm going to be the only one out of our crew to make it out there, maybe I'll skip it and do it the next year. Because like I said, it is just so rare that you get races that allow you to defer.
Right.
So that's actually really cool. So, all right. I think that's going to do it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. So that's going to do it for this week. So thanks for listening.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.